talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And a big piece of news just came over the wires just a few minutes ago, really. The Senate finally passed the $1.7 billion omnibus spending bill after a lot of fighting by a few of the Republicans. $1.7 billion, and there was a lot of skullduggery, a lot of drama leading up to it. We're going to go through it. The vote was 68-29. Predictably, Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senator, voted against it. If he had been successful, tomorrow at 5 p.m., Friday at 5 p.m., the debt ceiling would have been reached and we would have had to shut down the government. Ron Johnson voted against it, would have shut down the government. He's done it before. One time they shut it down for 45 days. You know, when they shut down the government, the costs associated with that, interest costs and a lot of other things, in the past were about $25 billion. $25 billion. And they apparently don't seem to care about that. They don't care about that. He voted again to do it this time. And last time they didn't pay the FBI. They didn't pay the Coast Guard. He was ready to shut it down again. Anyway, he didn't win this time. 68-29, it passed. The skullduggery was Mike Lee. He's bad news. Right-wing, pro-Trumper, anti-democracy guy from Utah. Republican, of course. And he decided to hold it up all by himself, unless they agreed to an amendment of his that would have extended the Title 42 exception to immigration coming into the country. That's the COVID exception, so that the border people could turn back people at will. Now, let me tell you something. The border is out of control, and I'm going to tell you that right now. This year, 22, there were over 2 million contacts with people coming in illegally. Over 2 million. When I say illegally, technically it's legal if you say you want asylum, but everybody says that, and then they're released into the country, many of them. Well, many of them were returned, but in any event, why should one senator be permitted to hold up a bill? One senator. The way they hold it up is they say they want weeks of debate and that the debt ceiling is going to be hit. The debt ceiling is going to be hit tomorrow at 5 p.m. Believe it or not, Kyrsten Sinema, who became independent and has knifed the Democratic Party for the last several years, came up with a solution that worked. So I got to give it to her, even though I would never support her, because she's the one that put the kibosh on a couple of things, one of them being tax reform, which would have required hedge fund operators to pay income tax. Right now, they don't pay income tax. It doesn't matter if they make $1 billion a year, they pay income tax. And she went along with them on that one, also on the pharmacy bills. She opposed things like the insulin relief, limiting it to $35 a month. Some people had to pay $500 a month. Well, the deal with what she came up with, she said, why don't we extend it, but not forever, until, quote, there is a solution passed. And it was basically kick the can down the road. We're going to go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Matt, a little snowy in the Madison area today, but other than that, I just wanted to say I don't understand how Senator Johnson got reelected, but he did, and it's a sad thing because he seems to vote on the wrong side of everything. But this is my opinion. Now, I should probably listen to your whole comment to the end here, but I think this is another win for Biden, and right. Biden has just... It's just unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. It's believable what this man has done. And we'll be starting a third year pretty soon. But this is just, this guy took office. Trump, it was a complete mess. The country was fighting each other. And to get all these things done, and I'll say one thing about Manchin and Sinema. We got infrastructure and some other things done. And at least Schumer had the, he was the majority leader, which is a good thing. But I just want to, hats off to Joe Biden. And also, Ukraine has some stuff in there. I watched that yesterday. So I'm proud that I voted for Biden. I think maybe he should run again if his health is willing. But I just wanted to say, Biden, you're awesome, and I'm glad he's president. And have a great Christmas, Matt.
Thank you, Paul. You have a great Christmas, too. And right on, Paul, right on. I couldn't agree more. Here's a guy with only 50 senators and requires Kamala Harris to break the tie. Remember, Fetterman doesn't get sworn in till the first week in January. He has only 50 for this thing. And remember something else. He was first elected to the Senate in 1972, 50 years ago. There is nobody in the history of the United States who's more experienced than he when he took office. Nobody. Nobody. He was in the Senate from 1972 to 2008. Then he became vice president, which basically he presides over the Senate by casting any tie votes. And then he was out of office for one term, obviously, after Obama finished his second term, and was planning to return as president. Nobody's more experienced. Hard infrastructure, the CHIP bill, this particular one, soft infrastructure. Look what the guy's done. Standing up for Ukraine, getting and organizing NATO back on track after Trump tried to pull us out of NATO. Putting together a mini NATO type alliance in the Pacific against the Chinese. I mean, there is nobody more experienced, and he's not a flashy guy. And, you know, he mumbles a little bit. So what? The guy is unbelievable. And yeah, I absolutely hope he runs again, and I'm going to vote for him. And I'm going to support him like I did before. So to get back to what I was saying, 68-29, Ron Johnson tried to stick a knife in it, didn't do any good. Here's the deal. What it has is it has over 800 billion for defense. Our defense, including replenishing our stocks of ammunition and missiles and HIMARS and everything else, tanks that we've given to the Ukrainians. It's great. And over 700 billion for other non-military spending. That's absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. Now, remember one thing. This has passed the House already. However, there were some amendments to it that have to be approved based on a conciliation conference. And we have till 5 p.m. tomorrow. Nancy Pelosi wants to pass it tonight in the House. It's not the whole, listen, all the Republicans will vote against it, all of them. Kevin McCarthy has absolutely no principles whatsoever. But she has right now about 222 votes. And unless a few squad types go against it, and what they've done in the past to make a point, they'll have one or two squad types go against it, but not enough to screw the whole thing. Okay, so you can expect something like that. Now, here's the deal. We'll know today. She wants to pass it today. We're going to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks, Colin. What's your mind today, Jean?
Hi, I'm just calling today, and I agree with Wisco Paul. I think Biden's been a gift to our country. You know, people like to say, oh, he's feeble and things like that. Boy, I hope I'm like him when I'm his age. And he's right on the stick. He's did so much with Trump made adversaries. They brought it back to working with America. I mean, Trump was turning away everybody in all the countries to dislike America. He united many of the countries and really pulled America back up. And he also, you know, the health of America. I mean, you know what? We could have a 1,000-page book of all of the transgressions of Trump and the mega Republicans that they have done to our country. And I hope someday somebody does something like that and publishes it so that we remember what they did to our country and how Biden and the Democrats brought it back. And you guys with Civic Media and you, Matt, with your program has really made a difference in our state and in our country. And we got a lot of positive things to look forward to and to fight back on and to restore our state as well as, you know, keep working on our country. So thank you, Matt, for everything you do, and Merry Christmas, and I hope the same for all of your listeners. Thank you so much, Matt, and I hope you have a happy new year, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean. I always liked having you call in. Merry Christmas and happy new year to you, and I'll say a few more things about the bill. We'll go to a break, and I'll say a few more beyond that. You know, what Biden and then with Schumer working together pulled off is unbelievable. The bill is 4,155 pages. Nobody in the Senate read it. They read a synopsis of it. And like I'm reading a synopsis of their synopsis. $858 billion for defense. And what it will do is it will finance the government through September. So our armed forces will get paid. The FBI will get paid. Secretaries will get paid. $772 billion in non-defense spending. It reforms election laws. It makes it clear that the vice president does not have the discretion to reject the certifications. He's a monkey. What he is he's just an actor. He's up there. They should put a three-cornered hat on the guy with a musket and breeches and a wig like they had during the Revolutionary War. It's a shtick. It's, you know, look, it's like Disney World. That's all it is. It's going to reform the federal election laws to that extent. For a break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. A lot more on this bit. Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open at 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Catherine of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Catherine?
Sure. Hi, Matt. I was listening to you on Tuesday, right before you ended the show, and you were talking about Putin and all of the horrible things he's been doing and all the crimes and so forth. And you said Putin needs to be killed. Now, what exactly do you mean by that? I mean, who is supposed to kill him and why? And I don't think we have a right to say that someone in another country should be murdered. You know, so can you explain that?
Yeah, and thank you for calling. I want to put that and have this discussion with you right now. Think about this. This is maybe a rhetorical question to you, but do you think we should have killed Hitler during the Second World War, if we had assassins go to Berlin, fluent in German, and kill him? And I think the answer is yes. This is a man who killed 6 million people in concentration camps. He was a racial murderer. And I agree that it is wrong. And there's a famous saying by Talleyrand. Talleyrand was a French statesman in the 19th century. And he would say the following. If he heard something he didn't like, he'd say, it is worse than a crime, it is a blunder. It is worse than a crime, it is a blunder. So just because we had a head of state that we didn't like or was a bad guy, and welcome to the club. You know, there's a lot of them in the world. It would be worse than a crime. It would be a blunder to kill them. I think that Putin, like Hitler and like Stalin, and I would have said the same thing about him, as an exception. Stalin killed about 20 million people. Hitler, 6 million concentration camps, but many millions beyond that. I mean, he went into Ukraine and killed millions of people. And what he'd do is he was a racist who wanted to kill Jewish people, but he also would go into these countries, for instance, in Ukraine, and say to somebody or look at him and say, are you of Germanic origin or Slavic? If they're Slavic, he'd kill him. He's an animal. Putin is an animal. Now, who should do it? Ideally, what would happen is that the people in Russia would do it. I have no confidence that they will do it. I've written a novel, Catherine. I've written several novels, but this one is called Milwaukee Jihad. You might want to look at it because it has a scenario like this, not with Putin, but with ISIS leaders, with jihadists. And the CIA in it authorized one agent, a woman who's very good, to use deadly force without prior judicial approval or without normal circumstance. In other words, assassination. And she does that and saves our capital from a devastating attack during the State of the Union address. So you'll see my thinking on it and the legal basis for it. It's somewhat thin, but basically the legal basis is this. If you have a formal declaration of war, you are privileged to kill the enemy, including the leaders. So if you can get an assassin in to kill somebody and there's a formal, for instance, Japan, they bombed Pearl Harbor, formal declaration of war. And Tojo, the prime minister, was executed afterwards. And Hirohito, the emperor, who was behind it, we wanted to execute him, but people said, well, if we had executed the emperor, he's seen as sort of a god, he was, head of state, the entire Japanese people would have risen up and we would have had to use our troops to go in and put them down. We would have lost several hundred thousand soldiers and killed millions of Japanese. So it was, quite frankly, and this may be hard to believe given the atomic weapons we use, but it was much more humane to stop it that way, frankly, and we saved a lot of American lives. So there's no formal declaration of war against Russia, but Putin is conducting a genocide. He is a sadist. These soldiers in the Wagner group and the Chechenian jihadists that are going in are torturing people. They're raping women in front of their husbands and children. They're disemboweling women. They see tortured bodies. This is designed to demoralize a population. My feeling is that when you have a genocide in progress, you must kill the person who is committing the genocide. So there's a couple of ways it could be done since the Russians won't do it. One would be to give Ukraine the coordinates on Putin's location physically at all times. For instance, he just went to Minsk to meet with Lukashenko in Belarus. Lukashenko is a murderous dog himself. We had the coordinates of his location. Putin flew out of St. Petersburg instead of Moscow because he's afraid of assassination. And there were three planes that normally take him, and they all took off at the same time. My solution would have been to down all three of them. You know he's in one of them. Then he was on the ground in Minsk meeting with Lukashenko, trying to get him to commit Belarusian troops into Ukraine from the north. I would have targeted that meeting, killed them both, quite frankly. They are committing a genocide. You must stop a genocide. We have a moral obligation to do it. They have nuclear weapons. That is something that Biden has taken into account. Biden doesn't talk the way I talk because Biden's the president. It would carry more weight. I'm a radio host, but this station is about history. It's about history. And it's about people like yourself, very intelligent people with good questions calling in. I would leave it at this. If you had had a pistol and could have killed Hitler in 1939, 1940, 1941, 1942, 1943, 1944, would you have done it? I think the answer is yes, I would have done it. And the screams from the crematoriums and from the concentration camps would have ceased. Putin is the same way. There's a murderous rabble that he has sent to Ukraine. Catherine, thanks very much for calling. I really appreciate it. Hope you do it again. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to pick up some more. The question of Catherine from Madison is a very good question. Zelensky, president and head of state of Ukraine, gave a speech to Congress last night. I watched it. It was magnificent. You know, now this is a guy, he's Ukrainian, and he doesn't speak a ton of English, and he obviously... had the speech written out and studied it. And he did a marvelous job. I mean, a really marvelous job. He's the first head of state to address a joint session of Congress since Winston Churchill back in the early 1940s. Winston Churchill. I'm going to give you a few takes from it. Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz wouldn't stand. Tucker Carlson attacked him. Said disgustingly that he was dressed like a strip club operator. Now, he wasn't saying that Zelensky had anything to do with that, but Zelensky was wearing, in effect, wartime clothing, which I thought was quite appropriate. Tucker Carlson's a disgusting individual. My first question to him is, how do you know what strip club operators wear? When was the last time you saw one, and where did you see him? Tucker Carlson is a traitor to the United States. Tucker Carlson has made fun of Ukraine. He's backed the Russian invasion, the genocide. He's frequently appears on Russian TV. They take his broadcasts and they show it. And as if he's the only media person in the country and that the media therefore is for Russia. What he's done is, by backing Putin, he's certainly backing the use of the Islamic terrorists in Chechnya under the control of Ramzan Kartikov, who go in and rape and murder Ukrainian women, and who are also posted by Putin behind Russian troops with orders to shoot Russian troops, if they desert or withdraw. He's having jihadists shoot Russian troops. He's backing the Wagner Group, who have 10,000 mercenary sadists and 40,000 convicts who are simply going through murdering the civilian population. He's backing that by backing Putin. Putin has now threatened that an Admiral Gorshkov-class frigate with hypersonic missiles will be deployed to the Black Sea. These missiles... go several times the speed of sound. They have a range of 620 miles. He has another missile called, a death missile called Satan II, and he's going to unleash that, and it's going to go against the civilian population and the grid and everything else. Biden has said he'll send Patriot missile defense systems to Ukraine. Should have been done a long time ago. He was opposed by some Republicans in Germany and France, and he's done a magnificent job navigating all of that. They will shoot down a lot of these missiles, but some of them will get through. I'm going to repeat what I said before. I think we've got to give the Ukrainians the coordinates at all times. We have them through the CIA, of this new Admiral Gorshkov-class frigate and the weapons to destroy it and the physical location of Putin, Ramzan Kartikov of Chechnya, Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner Group, at all times. and the HIMARS, the long-range HIMARS, to take them out when we're able to. Marjorie Taylor Greene attacked the speech last night, believe it or not, said Zelensky is a shadow president and Ukraine is the 51st state. That's an allegation that anti-Semites used against Israel 20 years ago. It's the same language. This gal has absolutely no business being in the Congress. She's toxic. She's bad news. She's a very, very bad person. Now North Korea is supplying rockets and missiles to the Wagner Group. And my question is this. North Korea, Iran sends the drones to kill Ukrainian civilians. Russia's using them. Why has Iran and North Korea never been bombed for doing this? They don't have nuclear weapons. With regard to North Korea, the answer is that they have a border with China and with South Korea. And the fear is if we bomb them, we'd send a million refugees into China. It'd be like they're bombing Mexico. We got to be careful with Iran. I think it's long past due that we bombed them. Go to the lines. There's a lot of people in the lines. I'll take you in order. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joe?
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. I just wanted to return to a discussion about Joe Biden. And in one point, you mentioned that he mumbles, and you said, well, you know, so what? I would really like people to remember that Joe Biden has been quite clear that he is a stutterer, and that is a neurological condition that's shared by about 70 million other Americans. It has a genetic component, and there's all sorts of esteemed people who have also worked their way through this situation. I would mention Sully Sullenberg, who was quite clear about talking about how furious he was when Joe Biden was insulted because he got caught on a word here and there in debate. Sullenberg, you know, I mean, jet fighter pilot and obviously a pretty accomplished individual to be able to land that plane and save that 150 people in the Hudson River. Interestingly, there are some other people that also have been clear about having a problem with stuttering. It includes Samuel Jackson, Bruce Willis, and here's one that I find fascinating, James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones, the voice, the big voice, is a stutterer. And he said, you don't necessarily get over it, you work with it. And I think when we hear a mumble from Joe Biden, it's important to remember he may be working his way around a particular sound or word that's stopping him and using the techniques that he's learned in his life to get around a stutter. And so there is a pause, there is a mumble as he makes his way through. And he said, and I thought it was really an important point, he said that stuttering has given me a great insight into other people's pain. And I can't think of anything better for a president to have than great insight into the troubles and woes that other people have. So I just wanted to throw that into the mix, that it's important to remember that sometimes when he's talking, he's working his way through words. Thanks, man. I appreciate the chance to talk.
Yeah, Joe, thank you. That's a magnificent call. I really appreciate it. And I had an awakening on that myself. My wife, Mary, was a speech and language pathologist for 34 years. And she worked most of that time in the Germantown public school system at County Line School. And they call stuttering disfluency. So whenever I would say stutter, she would say, yeah, disfluency. And you're absolutely right. It has a genetic component and it's something you can't control. She pointed out to me that Biden will occasionally hold a pen while he's talking. And there's something about a physical, tactile experience while you're talking that's very calming to people who have disfluency. And it could be a pen, it could be something else. The other thing you'll notice is he'll frequently use the same phrases, beginning or ending, like, here's the deal. And, you know, that kind of thing. That sets him up so that he can do it without stuttering. So you're absolutely right. I made that point when I backed him the first time in 2020, and people were not certain, that has nothing to do with anything cognitive. That has to do with something far different. And as you point, I had not realized that the people whom you described have that issue. And I'm very grateful for your call. Thank you so much. Going back to the lines, Tom of Los Angeles, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hey, Matt. Good to have you back.
Thank
first
you.
Off, we the people are the government. and ultimately, and we must never forget that. Matt, I would also say I like the fact of what you're talking about with the coordinates and, you know, being able to do a more tactical strike on these evil, you know, dictators and evil human beings. I like that a lot better than I do making the military-industrial complex richer. I think we ought to go back to what Smuggly Butler said, and that was, you know, no profit on war is really what we should be talking about. No profit on arms, because you know, we need peace, and if we need peace, then you know what? Fine. If we have to go in there and dispose of Vladimir Putin, great. Let's do it. Let's do it strategically, though. Let's not do it where one bomb's thrown for another bomb, and then all of a sudden you have no return on investment in terms of what you've done. I'd much rather take that money and spend it right here domestically in the United States of America and have my tax dollars go towards helping those less fortunate, the middle class, and get some child care for all, get some Medicare for all, so everyone can actually start surviving on a middle-class lifestyle again.
Thank you very much, Tom. You know, that's a very eloquent and passionate statement, and I'll say this. Right now, I agree with you on the coordinates, supplying that to the Ukrainians. We also have in stock, so to speak, the long-range HIMAR missiles, the planes, and missile defense systems to be transferred over there. Russia, in effect, its leadership has lost its mind. And it's really a form of self-hatred because the Ukrainians are culturally identical practically to them. I mean, if you look at their history. Before I go into that, I'm going to go one more time in the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling Western Mind today, Dick.
Probably something inappropriate. I was told that last night by Sue after his speech. Would you agree that really, really good comedians are generally very intelligent as well? That would be President Zelensky. That said, when the dust settles, and I wouldn't know it wouldn't be appropriate now, but a little bit of some kind of humor to put in here, I think that NBC should offer him Saturday Night Live when the dust settles from all this, just to see him in his real role as a stand-up comic. I think it would be awesome to see. He's an amazing person. He certainly deserves the Time Magazine Award and all the accolades he's getting. But the speech last night was just an unbelievable home run.
Yeah, I agree with that part of you. I think it was an unbelievable home run. And I agree that people that certainly that do improv, who are acting, frankly, and there's a form of acting or form of play called Commedia dell'arte from Italy in the 18th century. If you've ever seen one of those, it's sort of improv and requires enormous intellect. But I do not think that speech or these circumstances warrant any humor whatsoever. And the reason I say that is you don't give a humorous speech in 1943 when people are being butchered in concentration camps. And what, you know, I don't know if people know this. The Russians have kidnapped Ukrainian children. They've kidnapped them, thousands of them. And then they take them in. They're frightened. They, quote, convert them, end quote. Some of them are of the Orthodox faith anyway, but some aren't. I mean, the Ukrainians in the eastern part of the country are largely Catholic or Protestant. And they're just grabbing them. And they take them to Russia, convert them. And then what they do is they indoctrinate them with Russian ideology. This was done by the Ottoman Empire in the 16th and 17th centuries. They would go into Bulgaria and Serbia and kidnap Bulgarian and Serbian kids and then take them to Istanbul, call them Janissaries, convert them. And then when they were older, send them back to Bulgaria and Serbia to kill their parents. Russia is doing that right now. That is not something anybody's going to joke about. Yeah, Zelensky's a very smart guy. And he's more than just, you know, comedian. I mean, he's an actor. He's done comedy. He's done straight theater. and he's smart. But so what? The point is, you do not joke when people are getting genocided. You do not joke about sadism. And after this is over, hopefully, and you, it's going to be, Putin has to go, because if he doesn't, he's going to get assassinated by disgruntled people in Russia. So when things stabilize, if and when things stabilize, yeah, we'll have lots of opportunities. I think the world of the guy. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, an extraordinary statement by a Republican member of the House, not one of my favorites, Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz dodged a bullet. You may remember a year or so ago, he was lying quite low. There were federal prosecutors sniffing around him, sniffing like a dog on a log, looking for the lizard, get him out from under the log. One of his running dogs, his fellow travelers member, pled guilty and got a substantial prison term. Matt Gaetz so far is apparently not going to be prosecuted. So somehow he slipped the noose. He slipped the noose and got away. Well, he's a piece of work. I don't know what constituency would vote for the guy, but in any event, he just attacked Kevin McCarthy. Now, Kevin McCarthy is a minority leader, and he's no good either, but he is their minority leader. You think a guy doesn't attack his minority leader, but he does. He doesn't want Kevin McCarthy to be speaker. Now, here's what he said. This is quite extraordinary. He said, quote, Kevin McCarthy does not actually believe anything. He has no ideology. He doesn't believe in anything. He has no ideology. He lies. He'll change the lie if necessary. In Republican politics, a promotion shouldn't be failure's chaser. He said, for instance, that if a coach has a losing season, he gets fired. If a CEO loses a lot of money, revenues go down, they get fired. So why is it in Republican politics, there's a promotion as a chaser for failure? That's what he said. He does not actually believe in anything. Now, I can't believe that I agree with Matt Gaetz, but I'm telling you, I do agree with him on this only. When he says that Kevin McCarthy does not actually believe in anything, he's right. He has no ideology. He's right. Kevin McCarthy lies. He's right. Kevin McCarthy will change the lie if necessary. Correct. And in Republican politics, if somebody's a failure, they give him promotions as a chaser. Yes, that's exactly right. Why is he a failure? He's a failure because you have an off-year election with an incumbent president where in the past the out party has picked up 60 seats. In 2010, they did. 48 seats in 2018, we did. This clown picks up, what, 5 seats? And even then, the only reason he did is four of them were in New York, where a Republican-oriented top court, they call it a court of appeals there, even though it's their Supreme Court, rejiggered things to give the Republicans a majority, to give the Republicans really, those 4 seats helped their majority in the House. And then there were a couple in California that inexcusably and inexplicably went Republican. So McCarthy is a failure. He is a failure. Let me cut to the chase what this means. McCarthy can't lose 5 votes. If he loses 5 votes for speaker, he ain't going to be the speaker. So what happens is Matt Gaetz has said he won't vote for him. Norman of South Carolina said he won't vote for him. Biggs of Arizona said he won't vote for him. None of these people vote for him. And now it takes 2 more. Now Lauren Boebert just announced. Annie Oakley, the gal from Rifle, Colorado, she's the one who had a restaurant. And her waitresses, she demanded that they pack iron with a big iron on their hip with a big iron on their hip. They had their skirts and so forth, and they had to put a holster and a revolver in it. Go up to a guy and go, what would you like? Cheeseburger and what, a bullet between your eyes? I mean, I don't want somebody serving me with a big iron on their hip. It's not why I'm there. I'm there for a cheeseburger, fries, maybe a Miller Lite, a milkshake, who knows? And this clown got reelected by 500 votes. And she goes, I will not vote for McCarthy unless he agrees to a procedure whereby any member of the House can bring a motion to vacate the chair, and it's got to be debated and voted on. That isn't normally the way it works. Like with Nancy Pelosi, some people didn't vote for her, but once she was in as Speaker, she was Speaker for 2 years. If you have the assorted clowns that they have, for instance, Gates, this Gosar, he is a real piece of work. It turns out, believe it or not, that he was texting the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers while he was holed up during January 6th, reporting on his fellow congressmen, saying where they were and what they were doing. I think that guy should be prosecuted. He's also the one that put out a video about him killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's a felony. Even putting out a video, if I put out a video saying I want to kill Matt Gaetz, that's a felony. I don't do that. I don't want to do that. That isn't right. I strongly oppose that. And the clown Gosar in this video had physically attacking Joe Biden. That is a real no-no. You do that. That's a felony. They let him go because they look on him as a clown and he's in Congress. That's wrong. They should not do that. They should crack down on the scoundrel. But in any event, there you have Biggs, Norman, Gates, and now Bobbert saying they will not vote for him. Therefore, McCarthy has one more vote. If he loses one more vote, he ain't going to be Speaker. Now, what's happened in the past, and back, I don't know, I think it was something like the 1920s, you can go through several ballots. In other words, then the Democrats will say, we want Hakeem Jeffries. He's the new head of the Democrats in the House. Well, no Republican is going to go for a Democrat, so then they'll go again. And the idea is, I think this right-wing group doesn't want McCarthy, and they're going to squeeze it so somebody else gets it. But here's the problem. If it's a real right-winger, the moderates aren't going to vote for him. This fellow Norman, bad news, from South Carolina, made a cryptic statement the other day. The scoundrel, cryptic statement, you know what he said? He said, we have somebody else in mind, and they may not be in Congress. We have somebody else in mind, and they might not be in Congress. What does that mean? You don't have to be in Congress, believe it or not, to be the Speaker. You don't have to be in Congress. So then I'm thinking, who are they thinking of? Would satisfy the right-wingers and all the rest? I don't know. I could talk for another hour on this. A lot of interesting stuff. Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy holidays. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. Matt Flynn Direct, we're back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. And I won't back down.
Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.